You're listening to the Infatuation Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a first-time co-host with us today. She's from Manchester, England. It's Zoe. Hey, Zoe.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Good. It's, 9 o'clock over there right now?
Yeah, just after.
Okay, yeah. So it's lunchtime here. And then I think in New Zealand, it'll be morning.
Across three continents.
Yeah, we'll have three continents. But yeah, thanks so much for joining us today.
No, I've been really looking forward to this ever since you invited me.
Yeah, we met because I think you posted a picture on your Instagram from Cixin Liu's book, Three Body Problem. And I was reading it too because we were, I think this was a month ago or so, we were anticipating the show's arrival.
Yes.
And so we started talking about it and then the show dropped and I think we both watched it in like 1 or 2 days.
Pretty much the same time. I think you watched it just ahead of me, but it was so good that I essentially binge watched the whole show.
Yeah. So we were doing this episode and then I had reached out to one of the actresses, Jess Hong, again, around a month ago, and she said she'd be willing to come on. So she's coming on with us today. So that's super exciting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. So a little bit more about Zoe. Zoe is the owner and operator of Juniper by the Sea pop-up and online bookstore. Asian books focused, yeah?
Yes. I think it's the first one, the East and Southeast Asian sort of focused bookshop in the UK. It's only online for now, but I'm really excited to be in this space.
Yeah, but I've seen once in a while you'll pop down to London and put up a little stall and sell some books.
Yeah, I've got an event coming up this weekend. I'm going to be talking to some authors about their new books, about folk tales and fantasy. And then I'll be having a pop-up bookshop as well.
Nice. So anyone in the UK, if you're near London and you want to, when is it? Actually, this episode is going to come out after your event is over, but you're doing,
yes. But
keep an eye on Zoe's Instagram. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but you might see different events coming up in London for Asian authors. So let's see, we're talking today about the three body problem. What did you think of the show overall?
I really loved it. I was very lucky though. I got to see a screening of it in London on its premiere night.
Mm.
That was incredible because it was organized by Milk Tea Films. They're in the UK. They host a lot of East and Southeast Asian cinema screenings just to spotlight their work. So we got to do it. We got to go see the show just after their press night, the Netflix press night.
Fine.
Which was amazing. Like the staff were wearing headsets based off the show. The cast, including Jess, was there for the Q&A.
Oh, wow.
And the really lovely surprise of Benedict Wong ended up DJing at the after party.
Oh, wow.
So that was incredible.
Wow, and he's a Mancunian as well, yeah?
He is indeed, from Salford.
And you've touched base with him a little bit, yeah?
Do you know what? He's incredible. He's really supportive of East and Southeast Asian work in the UK. So he's reached out and he generally supports a lot of advocacy and sort of anti-racism here, which is incredible.
All right. So who knows? Maybe we'll try to get Benedict Wong on the show too.
Fingers crossed.
But okay, so without further ado, let's go ahead and get into our episode with Jess. The Three Body Problem is a Netflix original show dropped on March 21st of 2024. It's based on a science fiction novel series by an author, Cixin Liu, who I think won the Hugo Award in 2015. It was brought to the screen by the famous producers of Game of Thrones, David Benioff, Dan Weiss, and they brought in a new producer, Alexander Wu, who produced True Blood. It's a real feast for your eyes and your mind. If you watch this show, it is like watching 8 movies. The quality on this is amazing. And you'll know some of the cast. Some of the cast is very, very well known. Jonathan Pryce, Benedict Wong, and Rosalind Chow. But also a bunch of new faces, fresh faces. And we actually have one of the fresh faces with us today, calling in from New Zealand. We have Jess Hong. Hey, Jess.
What's up?
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Jess.
Yeah.
So how has life been in the last 2 weeks, 10 days, 2 weeks?
Oh, it's been a wild ride, you know. I am very fresh. I had like brief career in New Zealand before I got booked for this role. So it's like my first big gig. It's my first international gig. It's the first time I'd lived away from New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
So it was a lot of firsts for me. And that in itself, we spent 9 months filming in London and it was pretty intense, just that. And then I kind of returned to New Zealand and waited for the show to be edited, got brought back every now and then for reshoots. But it's funny, it feels like a double life that I just kind of go to sometimes. Very real connections, you know, getting to see my castmates again was amazing. But definitely, yeah, it's just such another world to me, that whole, and press tours are like a circus, you know, they're just kind of, let's go to this place, overstimulation, overstimulation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I appreciate you so much, because, you know, we touched base maybe a month ago, and and I was thinking, oh, I better get Jess before the show drops, because then she'll become too big for us. You know, she'll be like a gigantic star by the time the show drops. And so we left it off at kind of like, okay, well, I got to do the official press tour and I'll let you know when I get back. And in my mind, I was thinking I would have to follow up with you, you know, and pester you and bother you. But you messaged me and said you were coming back. So I, you know.
Yeah, I felt bad because it had been a few weeks by that point. I was like, oh, man, I should really get around to that.
You don't know how many people leave me on that, though. There's so many people. There's so many people who say, oh, yeah, we'd love to. Sure, I'll do it. And then they never get back to me. And I have to pester them and follow them. But so I super appreciate you, man. That's really cool.
Oh, good, man.
So we like to greet our guests in the Asian way, and I see you taking spoonfuls. So we want to ask our guests, have you eaten yet, Jess?
I am currently eating. It's breakfast time in New Zealand. Well, maybe not for most people, but for me, having just returned to my country yesterday, it definitely is eating time.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. No, but eat away. Go ahead and eat away. I'll edit out any slurping or chewing sounds.
Enjoy your breakfast.
Do you know what's really cute? I did this D&D campaign a few years back, and our DM, Ben Tay, would always, he would do like a half episode slogan and then like an end of episode. And the half episode would always be, have you eaten yet?
Yeah.
But that was really
cute. That's so cute.
I heard about that. Dumplings and Dragons, is that your D&D?
Yeah, that was the one. Asian artists in Auckland.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Is it good to be home now? Are you back for a little while now?
Oh, yeah. It's really nice. Even just this morning, seeing the sunlight hitting the garden and just feeling like very at peace. I mean, I am here for a little bit. I am going on a holiday to Korea pretty soon. I'll be off again pretty soon, which is hilarious. But no, this is my place of rest and recharge. So I'm going to be here as long as my soul needs me to be here.
Yeah, now I'm kind of embarrassed about my lack of New Zealand knowledge. But you know what I did find out? And I'm going to show you this thing. I think it's pretty cool. Have you ever looked up notable New Zealanders of Chinese descent?
No, I've never done that.
If you go to Google and you look up this thing under Wikipedia, you'll see, and it's not a very long list. So you have politics, you have some folks here. If you go to the arts and you keep scrolling down, you'll see some names that you might recognize.
Lawrence, oh,
yeah,
sorry, just
right.
That's my friend.
But if you go to the bottom, the last entry down here at the bottom.
Oh my gosh!
Yes,
Michelle, Roseanne.
You made the list, yeah, Roseanne.
I
yeah,
made
Roseanne
the list. Liang,
you're on the list.
Holy moly.
You're the last one. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is really cool. I wonder who did that.
Who added you? Yeah, is your mom add you? But yeah, all right. So let's talk a little bit about your childhood. You didn't grow up in Auckland, yeah? You grew up a little further south?
I did. There we go. You know.
I'm a stalker.
I grew up in a town called Palmerston North, and it's like a mid-size for New Zealand, but kind of a small town if you think in terms of the world. And it was quite conservative, I would say, just in terms of like I remember in my teens when I would start like experimenting with my clothing choices, and just people would just look at me, you know, just going, oh, is someone doing it differently? A little weird. Okay. And then, so that kind of conservatism where it's like nobody will say anything, but they'll just kind of quietly judge you if you go outside the borderlines, you know. And it was cool. It was cool to grow up in a place like that because I don't know, there's just less. Even though there was judgment, there was less kind of expectation, I guess. And yeah, it was kind of a place to make mistakes and figure stuff out.
Was there any hint that as a kid, was there any hint that you might be doing what you're doing now? Like, were you?
Hell no. No way. So weird,
Yeah, I'm
actually.
curious. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
At the very beginning, when I was little, I wanted to be an astronomer. Or like something to do with the stars, actually. And then I think I realized how much mathematics was behind it. And I went, oh, maybe not quite for me. And then I wanted to be a journalist at one point,
Nice.
or a novelist. I really wanted to be a writer, because
Oh.
that was my main form of expression when I was growing up. I couldn't express verbally. I couldn't talk to people. I was actually super socially anxious, and I couldn't look anyone in the eyes, and I couldn't start or hold a conversation for a lot of my life. And then it wasn't until like middle end of high school that I was like, okay, I want to change. I want to start doing things that make me uncomfortable, such as taking drama class in high school. Because it's the most terrifying thing I could have thought of back then. And it was literally, I took it on as a self-help exercise
Oh,
so,
wow.
so that I could gain confidence. And it worked a little too well, I think people would say now. Like, maybe just back that little.
it
Down.
I love how you felt you were socially anxious before, and now you're on one of the biggest shows being watched by everyone around the world. That's such a big jump.
I suppose so. I think it's still possible to be. I know so many socially anxious actors, actually. I think it's part and parcel of being practicing a craft that makes you vulnerable and makes you open up. At least that's the way I see acting.
So theater was kind of what happened after high school?
Yeah. We do have a small theater community back in Palmerston North. What happened? I did a bunch of like summer Shakespeare's in the Park and a bunch of weird little experimental plays. And it was great. At the time, I was still thinking that I didn't realize that acting was an actual career option in New Zealand. So I still was thinking I was, you know, working in retail or working in hospo and like this is my hobby. And then I found out you could study this. Oh my gosh. And so I went to the Wellington, our capital, to study at Te Whakaari. And I got a BA. And I was like, sweet. So I'm like certified, isn't it? Popped out in 2019 and yeah, just started trying to hustle.
Nice,
Bam.
nice. Okay, but then you migrate over to the screen a little bit, and
Yeah.
I saw you in Creamery. I didn't know it was you, but I did a little interview with Perlina Lau and JJ Fong, and they're super great too. I think all New Zealand actresses are great. I only know three of you, but so far 100% of you are very, very cool.
That's all you need to know. No. Now you talk to some good ones. They're really cool.
They're very cool. And so you're doing a little screen. You did a film called Grafted. I
Yay.
don't know if I'm going to see that. Sounds terrifying.
It will be a fun scary, I think. I think one of those ones.
Had the producers of the Three Body Project ever said that they ever saw you before? No.
No.
So it was kind of a cold audition. Like you just sent in a tape.
Yes, yeah, for sure. I highly doubt they would have seen me in anything.
I was just wondering about that. I don't know.
No, it was, I think we were the last continent for them to hit after they searched the world. And I sent my first self-tape audition in I think it was April 2021, and I got cast in September 2021.
Did you know what you were auditioning for at the time?
I knew it was like a big project that these really well-known guys were show running and writing, I knew that the writing was really beautiful from the scenes I'd received. I was like, okay, it's a quality show as well. And that's it. But it was still called Untitled Benioff right up until the time I got booked.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I found out pretty late.
I'd love to know, can you tell us about the decision to keep your accent? You know, I love the Kiwi accent. And I think when I was watching the show, it felt really representative of, you know, being in a big city. You've got friends from all around the world. And it just felt really natural hearing that. And I love them for including it.
Oh, yay. Thanks for that feedback. That's really nice. We did try to, they did try to keep it as open and kind of global as possible. Yeah. I did actually audition in the second round with an English accent.
Oh, okay.
Clearly it was too shit. No, they didn't want it. No, but I do think it was a really clever choice because I guess people don't hear my accent very often. Yeah. And if they do, they're like, oh, Australian.
Aussie, yeah.
Yeah. But not specifically someone from New Zealand. So that was really cool. And it happened after, my first Zoom meeting or maybe the audition straight after that, where they sent me another script and suddenly there was a line in there about, oh, you know, how I spent my teenage years in New Zealand. And I was like, what?
Come from? That had to feel good, right? You're like, okay, they're, at least see me.
I was just blown away that they are so collaborative in that way, that they take something from you and they weave it into the character, you know? It makes it, I don't know, it makes you very hopeful and grateful to be working with people on that kind of level who still want realness and authenticity in the work.
I loved seeing that in this show, though. It did make all the characters so much more multidimensional and so much more authentic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
And let's talk about the production for a second. I mean, it's kind of silly because the number gets thrown around a lot, you know, $160 million. But quality-wise, it just... From the get-go, what was different about, so this is obviously the biggest production you've ever been on. Like, what were some of the differences between this and maybe something locally in New Zealand?
Let's see, the last series that I'd like been from beginning to end on was like a real low budget, but very warm kind of crew called Inked. It was a bilingual show here in New Zealand. And It was like 50 people like on set each day. And it was literally at this person's house. And that was the set. And they really made it work. And it was such a warm kind of family vibe, thanks to MJ and Jimmy who led that whole thing. And it was very, I don't know. There's just so, it's the scale is so, so different. So we went from that little crew and just kind of having lunch in the garden together to suddenly I'm on set in a giant warehouse studio with hundreds of people.
Hundreds.
Who all know my name as well. Like, you know, on a small crew, you introduce each other, you like say hello at the beginning and then you learn each other's name. But I hadn't learned anyone's name. I hadn't met these people. And they were like, hey, Jess.
And they all know you.
Also, it's COVID time, so everyone's wearing masks.
Oh, yeah.
Even if I remembered your eyes, I wouldn't know you if you took a picture.
Sure, yeah.
So that was a lot. The social battery was quite a lot to try and get to know people and at least to the level of, oh, we're going to work together for 9 months. And then, just the scale of the set, the hugeness of it, literally like two-story set pieces in the studio. It was big. It was like going from jungle gym in the playground to I don't know, actual gymnastics gym and you expected jump on the trampoline and do a triple flip.
It's nice to me to hear that you had sets, because sometimes when you look at these shows and you think, how much of it is green screen? You know, how much of it are you having to mime talking, you know, to something that's not there or having to pretend, you know, where you are?
There's definitely a lot of that too. But the departments did an amazing job of making it as tangible as possible. So like the set designer and that whole team, they created like a quarter of the Kublai Khan
Oh, wow.
castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally,
That's
you walk in,
incredible.
you can walk up the steps to the
Wow.
top of this thing. But yeah, there was a lot of emoting to a piece of tape on the camera or a cord on the ground.
All right. So I think we're at the point of the show or our episode where we need to warn people if they haven't watched The Three Body Problem,
Bum, bum,
we need to
bum.
tell you that spoilers are coming. So I think I'll play a little bit of the trailer, which I think is cool.
Oh, yeah.
And so it'll just be the audio of it. So everyone out there, if you haven't seen the show and you want to avoid spoilers, this is the time to get away from your devices. But after the trailer is over, if you want to be here and hear us talk about the plot, then you're welcome to stay.
I have to tell you something. Something insane, but true about all of us. It started a long time ago.
Back in 1977, they detected a sequence, called it the Wow Signal.
What's it say?
They are coming.
Who are they?
That's the question, right?
All right, I have some kids over here. I'm at a high school right now, so let me tell them to be quiet.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, yeah. Teacher.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Oh, I must say, it's so nice to chat to you, Jess. I was at the London, you know, the London screening, which was really fun.
So cool. It was wild. Those rooms were f-ing crazy.
Yes. Did you stay for with the Benedict Wong and the DJ
Yeah.
Bit?
Me and our mate Aiden Cheng, who plays Dasha's son in the show,
yeah.
We were like helping him for half of his thing. No, it was such a good time. We tried. I don't know how the hell Benny managed to keep his energy up, because
he
played
stayed
a
all
set.
night.
Yeah, he played a set in LA at the after party there as well.
Oh, wow.
And then we had flown directly from. We worked an 18-hour day in LA, and then the after party on top of that, which he played as a DJ.
Yeah.
And then literally the next morning we were on a flight to London.
Oh my gosh.
In order to do it all over again. So I have no idea how he did it, because I was fading. Like, I only managed to hype him for maybe half an hour. I was like, okay, I need to be horizontal. I'm gonna leave now.
Oh, Benedict. Hey, so Zoe, you're gonna get him on the show, right? He's gonna come on.
Maybe between all of us, we can get him.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that would be a dream. Would love. Like, I mean, you got the Manchester connection, the Asian connection. I think he'll come on. I think he'll come.
No, he's lovely. Yeah.
And I think I'm slightly older than him, so I think I can pull the big brother card on him.
Oh.
All right.
Pull the elder card.
Yeah, you know. All right, and we're back. So, Three Body Problem, if you don't know a little bit about the plot, it's a complex plot a little bit. So, I mean, this guy.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, Xixin Liu. I mean, have you met him, Jess? Did you ever get to talk to him?
No, I've never met him, but the guys have met him, either virtually or in person. Mm-hmm. He gave them their blessing to do this. So,
yeah.
Was that the producers?
The producers, yeah. So Dan and David definitely met him. Alex maybe he was there. I'm not sure. These are like the origin phases of the show.
But I mean, if you read any of this stuff, you realize this dude's pretty smart.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
it's actually really wild. I almost had to Google terms like as I was reading the trilogy.
Sure, sure, yeah.
It's always like the thesaurus ready.
Yeah. So his books take place only in China. And so the producers decided to bring this one to Oxford and mix up the cast a little bit. But I love the fact that they kept they kept you know, they kept a couple Asian faces in there, and as well as, of course, the Cultural Revolution scenes had to be in China.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's good to see Benedict and you, and there's nothing, well, I mean, there's little subtle things about you being Asian, but like Benedict's character doesn't really have to be Asian, but they kept it. So I love that. I love that.
They actually, I don't know if you heard that story, but they basically wrote it based on Benny's life.
Oh.
Like his backstory. Yeah.
Wow.
Because they sent him the brief of this character. Benny was reading it like, it sounds awfully familiar. Like, yeah, we did have a little look at your Wikipedia page before we wrote.
Wow.
Yeah. On the board. I mean, why wouldn't you?
That's kind of cool.
I think I must say, and maybe it's that attention to detail, right? Because I read the book, only book one. I haven't read book two and three yet. But like the show was so character driven, it really enhanced the storytelling for me. You know, it brought the book to life for me in a way that I think I struggled a little bit with the book. And maybe it's all these, you know, for example, like keeping a Kiwi accent, giving that backstory of set in New Zealand for Benny Wong, you know, keeping all that. Maybe that's what gives it that extra touch, because I love the show for that.
I think it's super intentional as well. The guys are kind of geniuses for creating the Oxford Five and bringing all these people together.
Yeah.
That so two of us, Augie and Jin's characters share the plot of the original lead in the book. And then other characters are pulled from different books. They're they're like taken over so that these people who are actually split across time and space in the trilogy would actually be together and experience these things together, which I think is genius because, you know, 8 episodes is a lot to fit in all these high concepts.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what that also does is it gives you, the audience, someone to be your seatbelt on the roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
You have, like, it's one of these people surely you can relate to.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Cultural Revolution stuff was basically copied and pasted. They were we're not touching.
Yeah.
So important that that stays exactly as it is.
Well, that seatbelt for me was Jin Chung. I really loved her character. Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, I think that you kind of bridged the science part with the feelings part, and even a love story. It was really, brilliant, really brilliant.
Well, I found it, you know, I loved him. I think Jin might have been my favorite character.
What do you mean might have grounded. Been your favorite
I know, I just, but, you know, there were a few others, but I think Jin, to be honest, was.
Yeah.
But do you know what I loved about it? It was, your character was so grounded, right? She's super smart, super confident and ambitious, but she doesn't stop caring about her friends, you know, and there's the really genuine earnestness to fix this kind of giant alien problem, you know, all of physics being sabotaged, and she wants to get it sorted. But when I was, you know, chatting to friends about it, because I was having texting marathons with my friend, also watching the show. And she, you know, she's read all the books, and she said, your character is actually based off a character in the third book of the trilogy. Is that right? But it's quite different. Like, the vibes I'm getting from you on screen is quite different from, I think, the character in the third book.
Yes.
I presume some of that's written in the script, right? You know, like through her actions and what she does for her friends. But I suppose, how did you find playing her character?
Oh, I just think Jin Chung is one of the most amazing people I've ever gotten to know. I wish I had like an ounce of her courage.
Yeah.
She really, I think she, we, what we share is that we're both optimistic at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We're both kind of idealists.
Yeah.
She sees this world where we know everything about how the world works, and that allows us to move much more intentionally through our lives, and that kind of allows the whole world to be a better place. And she's moving towards this world that she just knows is possible, but nobody else kind of sees it yet. And that's why I think she's so ambitious, is because, one, science is everything to her. It's kind of her magic. And two, it's her tool. It's her greatest weapon in life to be able to move forward. And I think that's what the kind of ideology that we share is, if you just move forward, keep taking each day one step at a time, you can conquer anything.
Oh, we love Jin Chan.
Love that.
All right, quick plot update here. So this is, I'm just reading from whatever trailer.
I love it.
Whatever trailer I got this one. So a young woman's fateful decision in the 1960s China reverberates across space and time to a group of brilliant scientists in the present day. As the laws of nature unravel before their eyes, five former colleagues reunite to confront the greatest threat in humanity's history. Dun, 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 dun.
Nice.
And so you're one of the five, the Oxford Five. I would say
the O5.
Or what do you call yourself? The three Potters?
We call ourselves, well, our group chat is called the Physics Five plus Raj, because it's the Physics Five.
The fifth wheel, the sixth wheel. So yeah, you guys are great. I think, you know, different from the books, I think the characters, the friendships was kind of the main thing that drew me in. You know, like the science is great, the visuals are great, but I thought the friendships and the love lines and just the, you know, there's little pairings up every so often. You'll see, you know, Jack and Will, or you'll see you and Augie, you know, like these little pairings. And
yeah, there's more often pairings than not. I think there's only like three scenes where we're all together as a group.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's vital. That's like any friend group, right? You just, you all like hang out, but there's always certain people that you're bring out different things in you. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of a different version of yourself, depending on who you're talking to.
Did you do anything specifically to build those friendships? I mean, you guys seem to like each other in person anyway, but did you do any games or any kind of retreats or anything? Ropes courses? Or?
Retreats, yeah. No, we tried our best. It was difficult because COVID times, so we weren't technically allowed to hang out, which was annoying. We had to like stay in these our bubbles, or depending on who we were shooting with at the time. But we snuck around and still hung out. We could. I remember we had one like dinner early on, and it was a bunch of us from who couldn't make it. I think a couple of the Oxford Five couldn't make it, but whoever was around came over, and the Chinese cast who were there at the time, who were flown over from Beijing for it, they had come around for dinner as well. So it was a pretty cute little.
Oh wow. So the in terms of the plot, so you start out kind of in this, it's the first four episodes are like a mystery or a kind of like trying to uncover the mysteries of what's going on here. And a lot of it was this video game that you guys play. And so those scenes are pretty intense. So those must have been soundstage. Like you said, they built a quarter of Genghis Khan's castle.
Yeah.
A lot of green screen. Did you know what you were doing? Do you even have any idea what it's going to look like at all at the end? Or how do they communicate?
We do have some idea. Again, it's a huge team effort from all these departments that are like working their butts off. So firstly, the VFX team, they create like a previs video for you that kind of looks like the Sims version of your characters going through space and doing these, and they show you like a third episode when everyone flies off because of the syzygy and kind of the sky. There was a previs for that, so we could see these tiny little figures flying up in space and how it would look when John and I were up on the harnesses and how we should be like moving. And then that in itself, there was work with the stunt team to kind of figure out how that would be believably anti-gravity and not just people hanging on wires. There was the costume department did an amazing job. I had like three different versions of that costume because one underwater, one had to fly up, but because it doesn't fly up, they VFX'd the flying up skirt bit. So I just didn't have a skirt for the flying. And then I had just the normal one that I walk around to.
Uh-huh.
And then, just the whole, everything was all working in tandem. So we had some idea of how it would go. I definitely couldn't have imagined the scale of that. So you're kind of going, oh my God. And then you got like Andrew Stanton yelling at you, okay, look at number 14, okay? Oh, no, Jack, the other one, 13, you 14. Okay, the eyelines match up like that, okay? It's like, no, brighter. What?
More scary. Yeah.
More scary. But when we were doing the eye in the sky, that was some of the funniest ones because We had no idea.
You're just looking.
We were like, where is it? And they went, it's everywhere. And I was like, we were like, what? What does that mean? So all the actors were like, had a really difficult time figuring out how to play that. Yeah.
So the first time you saw the finished project, was at the premiere or did you see any daily stuff?
No, we got lucky. I think they realized that because there are so many different timelines, so a lot of people literally have no idea what these parts of the show were. They did send us a little secret code that we could type into our Netflix account and watch ourselves. So I did watch it for the first time in my bed at night, like,
that's cool. That's cool.
And it was, oh my gosh, it was mind blowing. I binged up to 7 episodes and then I fell asleep from exhaustion and then finished the next one the next.
Amazing.
It was so good to watch though. I loved it. Do you know what? The scene I was really intrigued as to how you guys are going to do it with them. It's cliche maybe to say it, but it was a dehydration rehydration scene.
That
looks incredible. The dehydration was creepy and then the rehydration was just gorgeous, you know, in that water and the kind of uncurling.
I know, and that beautiful woman just kind of ching. Just
imagine out.
yeah it was much more dreamy than you realized it would. It was funny because the props department really pulled through. They made these rolled up skins out of latex, but like actually, you know, hand painted all of the facial features, stitched all of the hair onto the skin.
It looked really good.
It was wild, right? But to touch them, they were genuinely disgusting.
Do you know what? I felt that scene when you had to carry follower who'd been dehydrated and you're just given her to carry.
Yeah.
I could feel that squeamishness.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite scene from the show?
So I think the one I'm most emotionally tied to is probably one of the Will and Jin scenes.
Yeah.
Either the hospital or the boats by the beach. That's also because we did a chemistry read, Alex Sharp and I, and I've been with those scenes since 2021. I built a lot of who Jin is as a friend, as a human being off of those scenes as well. Mm-hmm. So there's those. It's hard though, because I love, all of the different kind of genres for a different reason, you know.
Right.
All the most huge scale scenes are amazing because I literally couldn't have imagined how spectacular they would have come out.
Yeah.
Keep going. Am I in that? Is that me?
I think that's what the show has, all this kind of existential crisis for humanity. And yet the most moving parts are still the parts where it's between, you know, one character and another.
100%.
You know, yes, you're putting Will, you know, off to space, just in the brain, and yet it's still so heartbreaking, that relationship of kind of you try and watching you process what that means to you be the one doing that, you know, and sending him off, and it's your plan of projecting him into space.
I mean, imagine if you didn't have that emotional kind of grounding, right? Just watching all this stuff about, which is still like epic and cool, but I don't think people would care as much if you don't care about the people that are going through these extreme
100%.
Yeah. And we also were really blown away by the fact that the plot from beginning to end is driven by women. And, you know, like that's not common in sci-fi and not necessarily common in anything really big. But this was cool that your characters, the Ye Wenji character, I mean, obviously she started the whole thing, but drives it all the way through. And Augie, of course, but like some really strong women characters. How did you feel making it? Did you feel like, okay, I have a huge responsibility? Did you feel the weight of that at all as you're filming this?
I think my biggest responsibility was making these characters and relationships as human as possible. I think first and foremost, it was doing this thing that you were talking about where you're like really invested in the characters and how they feel about what's happening to them rather than just what's happening to them. And I actually, because of that, I didn't, maybe for the best, I didn't think about the fact that we're representing women in STEM, which are also greatly disproportionate and underrepresented. I think it only really hit me afterwards. And it was actually at the London premiere, I met this chick, Becky, who is an astrophysicist. Mm. And
I remember you shouting out to her.
Yeah. I was like, what? She tapped me on the shoulder. I'm so glad she did, because she said that she'd never like seen herself like that on screen. Huh. And that was really, really touching. Like, I was always moved to tears. I hadn't actually thought about it until then. So yeah, it's been really recent, that kind of how momentous that is for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool.
I thought it was phenomenal. I suppose, you know, because your characters were also relatable and are so grounded, it wasn't just a representation, but it was a really positive way of showing, you know, women in science.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the, like, I mean, Jin's character is so, she's tough, you know, that she's lovely and she's so caring, but she's tough. You know, I love how she stands up to Wade. She tries to fight for, you know, all these things. And I think that's, it shows a lot of respect, I suppose, for you know, people who are doing that in real life. And I love that.
It's also so great for a female lead not to do one of two things. I feel like a lot of female leads in entertainment have to either be strong because they act like a man, or be strong because they're just so feminine and they just don't, they overcome so much.
Yeah.
But these women enter into their story when they've already overcome all of that stuff.
Yeah.
They've already built the resilience they need to move forward in the world. And these are all badass, intelligent, ambitious women in their own world.
Yeah.
And they still feel so much. You know, they're still sensitive and they're strong at the same time.
Yeah.
So you have to be right, you know?
Loved it. Yeah, no damsels in distress, you know, no, none of that. Yeah, great. And you know what? You know, we are the Infatuation Podcast, so I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on subtle nods that your character might have had to Asian culture somehow. It's it's not blatant, you know, it's not in your face. I don't hear you speaking any Mandarin in this show. But was there anything that you can think of that maybe that the producers or directors or you or the other actors brought to the screen that was more of a subtle nod to Asian culture?
What I do love is, so Jin's backstory, she was born in Hubei in China, and it was after she lost her parents that she got taken to New Zealand. In my mind, she was taken under the wing of an auntie that lived down there and brought up with her auntie. But what I love is that I can't remember how they dictate first or second generation. I'm the first in my family to be born in a Western country.
Okay.
So my mom immigrated, and then I was born and raised in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't speak Cantonese. I can kind of understand when she speaks to me, but I respond in English.
Mm-hmm.
And my Mandarin sucks. We did try to work a few more bits of Mandarin in the show, but then it was just didn't quite happen. And I am very insecure about that. I feel very ashamed and very guilty that I never went to Chinese school and never did the thing. And so what I love is that Jin is kind of in that diaspora. She is Chinese, but she's not. She's also English. She's also Kiwi. And I love the fact that it's not actually pointed out.
Yeah,
I love that it's not like, oh, she is a scientist because she is Chinese and she's always felt like she needed to. Yeah. It's not an identity script, you know?
Yeah.
We do a lot of identity theater here in New Zealand, and it's because there's all these people in the diaspora that are just trying to figure out who they are and who they're supposed to represent.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, you wouldn't really ask a white person to go, who do you represent?
Yeah.
What culture?
Yeah.
You know? They're not expected to have to represent anyone. And yet here I am, and I feel like when I walk through the world with this face in a Western, with a Western upbringing, I feel so pressured to represent my mom's culture at all times. Even though I don't have a very strong connection to it, I just feel responsible Yeah. And don't we all have, like, in our group of friends at a Chinese restaurant, you know, don't we feel responsible to, like, all the right things?
Could be the good Asian,
It's really weird. So I think that's what I love the most about being able to play a character who has this face, has this backstory, but it's not part of why she's there.
Yeah.
That's not the reason that she exists in the plot.
Love it. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's why, maybe that's why I really responded to the show and to the characters, you know, because I suppose the book is a Chinese sci-fi novel and this is an international adaptation. So, you know, as you said, they've moved things around. But I loved, as you're saying, it's not, you know, it's, you're there and this is your backstory, but it's not, you know, why you're there. Do you know what? The scene in episode one, you know, at the funeral for Vera Ye, I was really touched by just seeing that this was a lot more of an Asian funeral ceremony. You know, I don't know if there were Buddhist monks there, but I thought that was really striking to watch that. And it was so, and everyone just blended in, you know, there was no big fuss about it. There was no explaining of what it was. And I love that. It was so respectful of kind of, you know, as being someone in the diaspora, of just these are the things we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I guess one little thing I can remember is a scene shortly after with Jen and Dr. Ye. We're in the house, we're lighting incense, and we wear slippers inside, of course.
Right.
You don't have to explain it, it's just that it's what you do.
Yeah.
You take off your shoes and you put on slippers.
That was my favorite scene of the series, honestly, was with you and old Wenji. And at the house, and you could tell you had a relationship, you know, it's super subtle, like the fact that you're cooking together and that you're just sad together and that, you know, you had a bond there. I don't know what the history is. Maybe you went over there a lot when you're working at Vera's lab. Like maybe you were over there all the time, but you could tell there was a relationship there and you could tell there was comfort in having an auntie, you know. So I really love that scene. I thought that, and I noticed the slippers too. I noticed the slippers, and I was like,
"Yeah, nice
the slippers."
Yeah, Jen was definitely brought up by aunties, and I think that's another reason why.
Yeah,
it's such a betrayal and a shock for her.
Yeah,
when she finds out that Wenji is who she is, because I was like, "What? She was my sweet old auntie. You know, she was my parental figure here in London."
All right, everyone out there, go watch Three Body Problem because we want to see a season two. We need numbers.
Yeah.
We're up to
season two.
Yeah. I think we're probably up to like 20 million views now, but we need 50 million views. We need half the world to watch this show because it's expensive, you know, and I think Netflix is counting their beans and they're kind of like, okay, well, how many people watch this? And so we need more and more eyes. I think you guys are still top three in the world.
We're number one
A lot of countries. I think in the U.S. you're number one. Yeah, so it's such a good show. And I definitely want, we need a season two.
We do. I think it's one of my favorite shows in a long time, actually. I loved watching it.
Ah.
It was so much fun. Yeah.
And you're not even a sci-fi person,
I know, I'm not. I really haven't read that many sci-fi novels. I think, do you know what? I find a lot of them quite a little bit cold and clinical. But it's why I love the show more, dare I say that, because it, you know, it really brought it to life. I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
All right, I have kind of a bad track record, you know. I've interviewed people from The Brother's Son. We did a show on Cowboy Bebop. So me and Netflix, we don't do her. So I hope the jinx stops here.
To book the trend.
But so everyone go out, see the show, go read the books, and go give some love to Three Body Problem.
Yeah, give us some love.
All right, Jen, are you ready? I'm not Jen. I knew I was going to do that. All right, Jess, are you ready for our lightning round?
Oh, okay, yeah.
It doesn't sound like you were.
Let's just say I was.
Okay, yeah. Now you're ready. All right, so best memory from filming The Three Body Problem.
Best memory working with young Eve, who plays the little follower in the show.
Oh.
She was 10, now she's 12, and she's just one of the most professional, lovely actors that I've ever met.
Yeah.
And reminded me what it's like to have that that drive and that optimism, you know.
Besides Jin, what character are you most like?
Yeah. I think I am most like...
Right?
Soul. I'll say Soul.
Yeah.
Just in the kind of...
Good choice.
Kind of attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of... I don't know why, maybe because I'm 50 and maybe because I'm a middle-aged Chinese guy, but I was going to say Dashi, like Benedict's character.
Nice!
But yeah, maybe that's just my stage of life. Kind of tired, a little annoyed at all times, you know? All right, what's the thing? What did you miss most? When you were 9 months in London, what did you miss most from New Zealand while you were there?
The sound of native birds in the morning. The water, just like the tap water is different.
Yes, it is though.
Yeah, I imagine.
And the fresh, clean air.
Yeah, yeah. All right, now, Zoe, you can answer this question too. Would you have pushed the button to write back to the aliens if they specifically said, do not reply? Like, would you have pushed the button?
I wouldn't.
I would not.
You would not? The curiosity would be there, but I, you know, if... The alien specifically said, do not reply.
Seriously, like, we're gonna f*** you up. Like, let's do it.
But, and yet, she pushed the button. We gotta talk to Zin. I want to get Zin on the show, too. I want to talk to her about Wenji's choices. All right. And then our signature question, and you can take your time and think about this, but we ask our guests who their infatuation is. An infatuation is anyone in the Asian community that you respect. You can be someone you know or someone you admire from afar. So Jess Hong, who is your infatuation?
Can I start this with a little story?
Sure.
When I was, and I want to mention two people here, but when I was younger and growing up, I didn't see anyone that looked like me on screen.
Yeah.
That spoke English as well.
Yeah.
That didn't, like, you know, do kung fu.
Right, right.
The first one I saw was Lucy Liu and Charlie's Angels. And I was like, oh, okay. So if I'm like really hot, then maybe I can be one of those. The next I saw was Sandra Oh and Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool, really hot again. But also there's this scene in Grey's Anatomy where, and it's funny because she's like Korean heritage, not even Chinese, but this other doctor brings in an old Chinese couple that can't speak English, and they look to Sandra Oh's character and they're like, oh, we need you to help us because their child is unconscious. We need to tell them what's happening. And she's just like, no, I'm a Boston girl. Like, I can't, I'm not doing this. And it was the first time I saw a Chinese character, a female, but also one that doesn't speak an Asian language and is not expected expected to, but subverts that expectation. So that was very meaningful for me when I saw that as a teen. And she's also just someone that seems really cool. And someone that I met one day.
You're not the first person to pick either of those. Those have been picked before. Legends, because there were so few to choose from. I mean, so few that we saw. So the fact that they were doing it, you know, and it didn't hurt that they were good looking, but the fact that they did it and they did it well and they're still doing it. So, yeah, so great picks. Zoe, you want to pick one?
Yeah.
I don't think I have anyone particularly different. I watched a lot of, growing up, I watched a lot of TVB shows from Hong Kong. And so it was either, but I didn't relate to them for being Asian because they were just, you know, the people I saw on TV, right? I think it would probably have to be some of my family friends that I grew up around, and just they'd come around our house and visit all the time, and we would just meet for food and cooking around them, and they were also like lovely and friendly all the time. That I think I'd have to be, I think, someone personal rather than...
Yeah.
I didn't really relate to many people on screen.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, today you're our infatuation. Who knows who's watching, right? You never know who's watching you, so...
Oh, Curtis, you didn't tell it. You didn't tell yours.
Oh, you know what? I do this show every week, though, so... All right, so...
Is it this week?
All right, this week. You know what? I'm going to go with Rosalind Chow because I grew up in the 70s and 80s, right? And so seeing her on MASH... Joy Luck Club. You know, she's such a legend, and just seeing her on screen just always makes me happy. Just realizing how much stuff she had to go through in the 80s and 90s. You know, it's you can't even imagine, but. You know, the types of roles that were probably she had to turn down just because they were so offensive, probably, you know, I can imagine. So great to see her and just being a controversial character in this, but also, you know, but just doing it well. And you can tell just the fact that she just picked up where the young Wenji left off and just got angrier and more bitter and just tougher. I really loved her portrayal. So.
There was a lot of depth to her scenes.
I
thought she didn't say very much, but it sort of got conveyed in just how she held herself.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I love her too.
All right. So, hey, you got anything in the works yet? So Grafted coming out in New Zealand. Is it coming out elsewhere too? Are we going to see it over here?
Yeah, I'd love to say that I know the answer to that, but I...
They're probably trying to get it.
I think they're trying right now. Yeah. I think they want to do a festival run before they distribute. So we'll see.
I'd love to know, what would you want to work on? You know, if there were no constraints, what kind of project would you want to be doing or working on?
I really want to do something with like fight choreography. While my body's still, you know, somewhat
I'd
live.
I'd love to see that.
I would love to do some fighting scenes. Like a really beautiful... I just love like drama where there's two or three hander scenes with lots of like complex subtext. But I'm someone I'm quite an opportunist, so it's more like what lands in front of me.
Yeah.
And then I'll see how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I really want to work with the Daniels though.
So cool. Yeah. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah. Amazing.
Sami Man. Genius.
Yeah. They are geniuses. Yeah. Well, you know, I will tell you, I will watch whatever you're in. You know, even if it's a horror movie, I'll find a way to get through it. But you're so good. You're so
genuinely,
good.
Genuinely. You are like, whatever she's in, I'm going to watch from now on.
100%.
I think you're amazing.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Well, if you want to follow Jess, you can follow her at Jess the Hung on social media. And, of course, go watch Netflix's Three Body Problem. Zoe, thanks for helping out today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we may have you on again. We talk to a lot of authors, and you do a bookshop, so you're perfect for us. And you can follow Zoe at Juniper C Books. I'll spell this all out in the show notes. And as I mentioned, you can follow us at infatuationpodcast@gmail.com and give us a follow on Instagram and Facebook at Infatuation Podcast. And we'll put all these details down below. And until we talk to you again, on behalf of Jess, Zoe, and myself, we hope that you're all happy, healthy, and safe out there. Thank you again for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ah, she's so nice.
So nice, right? Yeah, that was fun.
She's really lovely.
Yeah, so chill too. I don't think, I don't know if she would ever change, but you know, the fact that I don't know how I would act if I knew 20 million people knew my name, you know?
I get the feeling that she won't. I have a feeling, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's really grounded.
Yeah.
And she's got a very strong value system.
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe just because it didn't seem like she was totally seeking it out either, you know, like...
Yeah,
there are some people who just, they want to be a star and they're going to do whatever it takes. Mm. Like she's just kind of like, we'll see what happens, but I'm expecting to fail.
Yeah, I think I really got the sense from her with when she talked about how there are other actors who are socially anxious, but it's about the craft.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, here is someone who really thinks about what they do and is doing it because there's art in the form of acting.
Yeah.
And I really love that, you know, that's... I don't want to say, that's a true actor. I wouldn't know, but I just think that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think it comes across though on screen as well, watching her, that here is someone who does treat what, she, you know, who has a lot of respect for what she does, you know, what she herself does. And I love that.
Yeah. I can imagine the producers, because I think in another interview, she said she interviewed like 7 or 8 times. And I can see what they saw in her, you know, like she would, she wouldn't say this, but I think, you know, they saw someone who has quiet strength and who you could feasibly see how two guys would fall in love with her. And it's not just physical attraction, but, you know, like, yeah, I could see, because that has to be there, right? Because the audience has to believe that this guy had loved her for 10 years or whatever.
A long time, yeah.
Willing to give up everything for her. Like, some of those lines is like, I won't do it because my government says to do it, but I'll do it if Jin says to do it. Yeah, Jin tells me to do it, I'll do it. Like, that kind of level of commitment from someone needs to be earned, right? And I think that her character earned it, and she comes across as that likable but strong, hard but soft. You know, it's really, I could see what the producers saw that in her.
I loved for me, she totally, I think, got the brief that doesn't even exist for what it means to represent women, you know, on screen. I loved, you know, her clarifying that a lot of women who are tough on screen are because either they are pretending to be men, you know, or actually like men. And I really love that kind of multitude that she contained within her of being both soft and caring and so loving. You know, do you remember the scene when they need Augie to make the sails to put the projectile into space? She really needs her, but she won't push it. You know, she turns up, quietly turns up, quietly asks. But once she's asked, she'll walk away because she respects her friend. You know, a lot for her decision and her own autonomy. And I really love that. It just felt a very strong representation of women. In a way, just because, you know, we're just people, aren't we? So,
And that's that's the name of the game, right? Is believability. Like, do you believe that this woman could make these kinds of decisions? You know, like sometimes some characters on screen will do something and you're like, I don't believe that they would do that.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
But I felt like...
I loved...
Go ahead.
Well, the scene, you know, when she's on the plane, so Will is already a brain in a box and she's trying to just make sure there's no issues and Raj is trying to come up and talk to her about having a you know, their relationship. She's like, I just don't have time to process this. But it felt like a really vulnerable moment that, again, was really authentic of here is someone who's tough, who knows what the job is, who knows the stakes. You know, what's happening, but is going to try and get on with it, but whilst also being really, you know, full of sorrow and sadness and fear at the same time.
I got to watch it again. I think I need to watch it again.
Yeah, I know. I think the scenes are so visually striking that I feel, you know, I suppose it's not been that long since I watched it, but it's still so clear in my head.
And I just wanted to get through it to hear the plot, you know, I just wanted to see what happened. But now I want to really just watch it and notice the moments and the...
I honestly do think the show is better than the book. But just for that, like, I didn't get this excited about when I read the book. And then it was after watching the show, I'm like, oh my God, now I want to read the rest of the books.
So we'll see. I hope they... It's so expensive.
I really want a season two.
So they spent so much money. I mean, these guys are winners, right?
Yeah.
So I think if Netflix is going to gamble on anyone, they would gamble on these guys.
Yes.
I would think at least give them one more season.
I really want to see more of them. I genuinely do. So I want them to do a season two.
I think they'll announce it soon. I think they would, you know,
I do think.
I think so. Because if they announce Avatar really quickly, like the live action.
Yes, that got renewed, didn't it?
Yeah, they had big numbers and they announced the season two and three. So we'll see. Fingers crossed.
Hopefully. I really want to watch more. So and it'll be really good for them. And I think they really deserve it. And I love Jess. You know, I loved her even before the interview, but I just, you know, she's not, my opinion of her has not changed. And I really want her to see more of her. So.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming on with me.
I really enjoyed it.
We'll talk more.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again. Have a lovely rest of the day and we'll stay in touch.
Yeah. Thanks for staying up late.